إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، yesterday somebody asked me a question about the issue of the hardness of the heart, and they said, how do we cure this hardness of the heart? I want to remind myself and you that Islam came with answers. Islam did not come with questions. And this is one of the first things for us as Muslims to understand and appreciate. Is there a God is not a question in Islam. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is haqq. We know this, it is an answer. There is no search for God in Islam. God has been found. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists. What will happen after death is not a question in Islam. We know what will happen after death. What will happen after death is not a probability. It is a certainty, it's definite. We know exactly what will happen after death. And so on. So, all the so-called questions that mankind had, and even till today, where people insist on asking these questions, when the answers are available, that's up to them. If somebody does not want to see an answer, and if they want to keep asking the same question over and over, and if you say that, you know, I am searching for God, keep searching. What can anybody do? I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists, and you don't want to find, you don't want to accept that. You say, I am searching for God. Oh, keep searching. How are you going to find? What God will you find? Where will you find? So the key thing for us to remember and understand is that in Islam, the only difference between what we can see, which is the alam al-shahada, and what we cannot see, which is the alam al-ghayb, is in the fact that the ghayb is hidden from us. That is all. It's not uncertain. The ghayb is even more certain than what we can see. Our eyes can deceive us, but the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is without a doubt. ذَٰلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. Allah said, this kitab, there is no doubt in it. In this Quran, there is absolutely no doubt. لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. There is no doubt in this kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our eyes can deceive us, and we have any number of examples of how our eyes can deceive us. One of the easiest ones to understand or to think about is that if you are sitting in a train, and when the train starts to move, when you look at the platform, it seems as if the platform is moving. We have all had this experience, we have all travelled in trains, and if you look at the platform, it seems as if the platform is concrete, it doesn't move anywhere. But your eye is telling you that the platform is moving. So what do? You believe the eyes? No, you believe your knowledge. And that's why I have always said this, that we see with our knowledge. We do not see with our eyes. We believe our knowledge. Our knowledge is that platforms do not move. So if I see the platform moving, my knowledge tells me actually the train is moving, even though I cannot feel it. The movement of the train is so gentle and gradual that I cannot actually feel the movement of the train until it starts going a bit faster. But until then, even though I am seeing the platform moving, I know my knowledge tells me the platform is not moving, the train is moving. So we see with our knowledge, we do not see with our eyes. So to bring this to the issue of the hardness of the heart, what is the knowledge telling us? What does the knowledge of Islam tell us? The reason for the hardness of the heart is very simple. One of the ways in which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained it is in the famous hadith where he mentioned this term wahan. And we know the hadith where he said that a time will come on my ummah where people will invite each other to eat from it. Like people invite each other to eat out of a plate. So the enemies of Islam, they will attack the Muslims from every side. And they will try to harm the Muslims, and they will harm the Muslims. They will be successful in harming the Muslims. From all sides. And the Sahaba asked, and they said, Ya Rasulullah, is it because we would be very few in number? And he said, no, you will actually be huge in number. Very large number. But you will be like the foam on the flood, which looks big but has no weight, no substance. It goes where the water goes. And then the Sahaba asked him, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they said, what is the reason for that? Why is it that even though we will be large in numbers, but our numbers will have no weight, they will have no significance? And he said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, because of wahy. And they said, what is wahy? And he said, wahy, two things he mentioned. He said, hubbu dunya wa karahiyatul maut. He said, the love of the dunya and the fear of death. And these two things are the things that make the heart hard. Now, why should the love of dunya and the fear of death, why does it make it hard? Because if the heart is soft, then the heart is open for hidayah. When the heart becomes hard, then the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no effect on the heart. And Allah mentioned this when He mentioned the effect of His word, if it is sent on a mountain. And what does the mountain do? The mountain disintegrates min khashyatillah. Because of the khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mountain humbles itself and the mountain will disintegrate. So if the heart is not being affected by the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does it mean? It means that there is no khashyat of Allah in the heart. And a heart without the khashyat of Allah is the fuel of Jahannam. It is the fuel of Jahannam. Because that heart will take you straight into the hellfire, nowhere else. That's the reason why the khashyat of Allah has to be in the heart. Now, hubbu dunya and karahiyatul maut, these are two related things. Because the more you love the dunya, the more you want to remain in the dunya. And therefore, the more you hate death. The less you love the dunya, the more you want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, the more you will love the day when you go to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the Khulafa of Banu Umayyah, he came to Makkah for Umrah. And then he asked some people, he said, are any of the Tabi'in, the people who learned from the Sahaba, and who saw the Sahaba, he said, are any of the Tabi'in still here? So they said, yes, and he wanted to meet this person. So they said, yes, there is this person. So he went to meet him. And he asked him, he said, why do we hate death? He said, why do people dislike death? And this wali of Allah, he told him, he said, why are you surprised? He said, you dislike death because you are like the person who built a palace and who decorated this palace and had every kind of comfort in this palace. But the place that he has to go to, he has left that place desolate. That place has no comfort, that place has, there's no shelter, there's nothing. That place is desolate. So yeah, but you are living in this palace. So obviously, if you are living in this very beautiful palace, very comfortable place, and you have to go to this other place which is desolate, then why would you like to go there? You would not like to go there. Right? So you hate that place, you hate the idea of going to that place. Now the problem is that whether we hate it or not, we have to go. There is no escape from that. And that's why it is very important to ensure that the hardness of the heart goes away. And as I said the other day, what Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, he said the sign of the hardness of the heart, many signs of the hardness of the heart, but one of the signs of the hardness of the heart is the dryness of the eyes, that the eyes do not shed tears for the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a sign of the hardness of the heart which is completely engrossed in the dunya, which has no concept of meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore the eyes remain dry, no matter how much of kalam of Allah is read and so on and so forth, nothing happens. So this is very important to cure that. Now how do you cure the hardness of the heart? The way to cure the hardness of the heart is two things. First of all is to force yourself, and believe me, if the heart is hard, then you have to force yourself. To force yourself to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every aspect of life, no matter how unpleasant or difficult it might seem to be. force it. What you do naturally, what comes to you, that's a different matter. But what you don't like to do, you know this is to be done, you know this is the rule, make yourself, no matter how difficult it is, force yourself, number one. Number two is to sit down and reflect on your own death. Sit down and reflect on your own death. The Mashayikhin used to make people do what is called Muraqabah Maut. They used to go, sit down and imagine, visualize. Muraqabah is to go inside, visualize your own death. See yourself there, your last moments, with your breath stuck in your throat, you cannot breathe. And nobody can help you. No amount of oxygen they pump into you, it will take away that gasping situation. Because that's not because of air, that's because your life is coming out. So watch yourself in that situation. Who is standing around you, who is there, what is happening? See the fact that they cannot do anything. Although your children, your wife, your husband, your friends, they would like to do whatever they can do to bring you back, to help you at least. But nobody can do anything. Nobody can do anything. Alhamdulillah, we have been at the bedsides of people who have died, who are dying. Almost everyone has at least seen this once. But even if you haven't seen it, you've heard about it enough. So visualize that, actually visualize that. Put yourself in that situation, because the day will come when we will actually be there. There's no escape from this. So let us prepare for it before we get there. So actually visualize that. Inshallah, in the last 10 days of Ramadan, we'll do something here. But I'm saying that actually do this. And then go from stage to stage to stage. What happens then? When Malakul Maut comes and extracts the soul, how will it be? Will it be the extraction of the soul of the believer, where Rasulullah ﷺ said the soul will be extracted so easily, it's like a drop of water falling from a jug. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make all our last days, all our last moments like that. Very easy. Or will it be the extraction of the soul about which Rasulullah ﷺ also said that this soul will be so, because the entire life of this soul was spent in the dunya, in the love of the dunya. So it doesn't want to leave. So when Malakul Maut comes and Malakul Maut calls it out, it tries to hide. And he said it tries to hide, it disperses and goes into the ends of the extremities of the body, into every cell of the body, but there is no escape. There is no escape. It has to come out. And then he said Malakul Maut drags it out. And he said, when he drags it out, it is like dragging out a thorny branch from a ball of wet wool. He said, every strand of that wool will be ripped apart. And the pain of that, and we haven't even reached anywhere, we haven't even come to the grave, nothing, nothing, nothing. This is just the soul coming out of the body. And he said, the pain of that will be something that is unimaginable. Unimaginable. So, see yourself in that situation. And ask yourself, do I want to be here or do I want to be here? When my soul is extracted, do I want... And that is only the beginning. Because if that is how your soul is extracted, then believe me, the rest of it is going to be worse. No matter how bad that was, the rest of it is going to be worse. Because that is the way in which the soul of a person who is disobedient to Allah is extracted. So it means the fate is sealed from there onwards. There's no escape from there. And that's why at the moment of death itself, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in the Quran. Allah said, تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُعَدُونَ. Allah said, Allah will send the malaika and they will give the bashara of Jannah there itself. At the moment of death itself, you will be told that you have been given Jannah. Allah has forgiven you. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this for all of us, inshallah. So right there you know. There's no doubt there also. At that moment itself, you know. The only problem with knowing it at that moment is, if the bashara is of Jannah, alhamdulillah. But if the bashara is not of Jannah, then what happens? Then what happens? I don't know how many of you have seen my lecture on death and hereafter. If you haven't seen it, see it. If there is opportunity, we'll talk about that during the last 10 days. But the point is that if at that moment of death, because at that moment, the door of Tawbah has been closed. Because you're seeing the Malaika, you're seeing Malakul Maut, so khalas, there's no Tawbah now after that. Now at that point, as I said, if the news is good, alhamdulillah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us good news at that time. But if, may Allah protect us from this, if the news is not good, then what we do? What we do? It's a state of such complete helplessness and despair that it's impossible to describe it. And we ask Allah to save us from that. And the way to save ourselves from that is to work on it now. Now, now, now. Right now. Not even wait till 9 o'clock in the morning. No, right now. Work on it right now. Because we do not know whether we will see 9 o'clock in the morning. Right now. It is this reality. How many times we have heard this? I don't know whether I will see tomorrow. All of these, unfortunately, has, for us, they have just become words. Just words. We repeat the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where he said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when I make salam from the right side, I do not know whether I will leave the left side. Do we have the reality of this? We have heard the words many times. We have repeated the words many times. Do we have the reality of it? No. Similarly, you take a morsel of food in the mouth and I'm not sure whether I can swallow it. We have heard this so many times. But do we have the reality of this? And that is what I remind myself and you. That reality will come only if we make effort on it. Making effort is essential. Believe me, we live in a world which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created as a world of cause and effect. In this world, whether you want money, whether you want power, or whether you want Allah, you have to make an effort. Without effort, nothing comes. The dunya doesn't come, the akhirah doesn't come. The only difference is, for the akhirah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts a lot of barakah in that effort. We do a little bit and we get a great deal. For example, I thank every day my fate that alhamdulillah, I live so close to this masjid that I am able to pray every salah in this masjid by jama'ah. As long as I am home, every salah by jama'ah I can pray in this masjid. Because I live so close. I know me and I know my own laziness. If this masjid was a little bit far away, then I would definitely miss some salah or the other. I would pray, I would not miss the salah, but I would not go to the masjid. I would have some excuse, and that excuse will keep me from going to the masjid. But alhamdulillah, Allah gave me a masjid where no effort is required. Very simple, just walk down the stairs and you are in the masjid. Alhamdulillah, may Allah bless the others of you who come very regularly, even though you don't live close to the masjid. You live far away from the masjid, still may Allah bless you, you come for every salah. But just think about this. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that a person who prays Salatul Isha by Jama'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him the reward of worshipping half the night. And when he prays Salatul Fajr by Jama'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him reward for worshipping the rest of the night. So simply, alhamdulillah, all of us who are sitting here, last night we prayed Salatul Isha by Jama'ah, and today we prayed Salatul Fajr by Jama'ah, Allah gave us the reward of worshipping Him all night. Which we would not have been able to do even if we had wanted to do. Even if you do it, maybe you will do it one day. I mean, nobody can do it every day. But just by these two salawat, just Isha and Fajr in the masjid, Allah gives the reward of worshipping all the night. Now if we can do that every day, then you are getting the reward of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all night, every night. So these are the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, we need to get the reality of these things. We need to get the reality of these things. And the people who have the reality of these things, I know friends of mine in the UK, for example, who had big houses far away from the masjid, They sold the big house and they came to live close to the masjid, and around the masjid is all, you know, those townhouses kind of thing, small ones. So they bought those townhouses at a premium just to be close to the masjid. So this dunya, as I said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a place of effort. And like this example I gave you of this Salatul Fajr and Salatul Isha, Allah puts barakah in that effort. But if somebody does not pray the Salat in the Jama'ah, will he get the reward? No. That effort he has to make, he has to come to the masjid. Now if he comes to the masjid for one Salah, Allah gives him the reward for worshipping all the night. That is the barakah. But obviously, if the person does not go to the masjid, he is not going to get, Allah will not say, no, even though you did not go, I give you, no. Doesn't work like that. This dunya is for effort. Whether it is for career, whether it's for worldly things, or whether it's for the akhirah, etc. And therefore, if we want to soften the heart, we have to make the effort. Obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every aspect, whether we like it or not. The very fact that you don't like it is a sign of sickness, believe me. I mean, this is itself a warning. Because why does a person not like to obey Allah? That itself is a sign of a sickness. Because if you don't like to obey Allah, it's sickness. So what do? You force yourself. No like and no like. That like is coming, the dislike is coming from my nafs, which is ruled by shaitan. So I have to get out of this. So I will obey Allah, no matter whether I like or don't like. And then the second one is to remember our death. Because that is absolutely certain, without a doubt. Remember our death. And of course, the rest of it, remember the akhirah and so on and so on. But start with this. The death is the first step. And that's why in Arabic, they call it Qiyamatul Sughra. They said this is the small Qiyamah. The main day of judgment will come when it comes. But for each one of us, our Qiyamah is the day we die. Because that is the day of judgment for us. It begins there. And that's the thing to remind ourselves and say that when I go before Allah, this is what will happen. And that is what inshallah will help us to soften our hearts. And then of course when the heart is softened and the heart becomes filled with the khashyat of Allah, and when the heart becomes filled with khashyat of Allah, then the opposite, which is that heart now becomes something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save from the hellfire. That is the person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive, and that is the person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give Jannah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those to soften our hearts, so that the effect of the kalam of Allah, the effect of the teachings of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have an effect on us, and thereby enable us to change our lives in a way that we become obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.